It's current state for Wednesday. I'm Mark Bayshore. These are heady days for General Motors. 6.5 years after emerging from an historic bankruptcy, GM is on the brink of what may be its best sales year ever. Some of that success can be linked to the 2016 Chevy Camaro. This week, the Lansing Grand River Assembly Plant announced it would add 500 new jobs to meet demand for the Camaro. Tonight, GM will unveil its latest electric vehicle. Now, while most of this news is good, GM is also facing legal troubles. A trial due to start in New York next week will determine GM's liability in a series of deadly accidents tied to faulty ignition switches the company knew about for years. Joining me to talk about the ups and downs on GM's road to the future is David Muller. Mr. Muller's an automotive reporter for MLive. He is based in Detroit. David, welcome to Current State.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let's start off with our hometown brands here in the Lansing area. The Chevy Camaro was a long-awaited arrival. There was a lot of excitement when it was announced production would move here from Ontario. But this was in the aftermath of some layoffs in Lansing in 2014. What does this new third shift add to the company and add to the local economy?
Well, obviously, it's great for the local economy, and it kind of came as a little bit of a surprise, which was nice because you mentioned those layoffs in 2014. Everybody kind of knew those were going to be temporary at the time because this return of production for the Camaro coming from Ontario, Canada, was anticipated. But this latest round of firing, which is happening now, about more than 500 people, both hourly and salaried, really kind of came as a surprise, and it was GM saying that, hey, look, our forecasted demand for this new Camaro is so great that we want to get this third shift online in Lansing. So great news for Lansing Grand River Assembly.
Is Lansing's third shift a calculated risk on GM's part, or is it more a show of confidence in projected sales?
Well, you know, the new Camaro has been getting all kinds of accolades, and the outgoing model sales have struggled a little bit, but its rivals, the Dodge Challenger and Ford Mustang, have been selling really, really well. And all signs do point to this new Camaro being a hot seller. Having said that, it does seem a little bit like a calculated risk because obviously nobody knows exactly how well it's going to sell, but all signs point to it being a really big seller. I think the question mark more for Lansing Grand River Assembly would be the Cadillac ATS and CTS models, which are also built there. They both struggled a bit in 2015. Their full-year sales were down by double digits, really. So and Americans haven't been buying mid-sized cars. So I think that's where some concern should be.
Well, for years, the Cadillac was a high flyer for GM. I mean, our plant here in Lansing enjoyed growing employment due to the success of the CTS. It was, in a sense, the flagship brand for some number of years. Can the Cadillac come back? What do you know about GM's plans for the Cadillac?
They haven't said much specifically about the CTS and the ATS, and now this is going to be a little bit of speculation. What's not speculation is that they started rebadging the brand with these new nomenclature. Like, for example, the top-of-the-line new sedan is called the CT6, and they're going to roll out that new nomenclature and kind of rebadge, I think, every model. So some speculation would be that maybe they'll do the same with the ATS, the CTS. These would be outgoing models. They'll rebadge them as maybe, this is just a guess, like a CT4 or something like that, and that they'll continue building the newer generation models there. I guess that would be the speculation, and that would be the hope. But whether or not GM plans to do that is completely a mystery at this point. They haven't announced anything on that front.
We're talking about General Motors today. We're discussing the company's performance in the last year and what may be ahead in 2016. David Muller is our guest. He's an automotive reporter for MLive based in Detroit. The North American International Auto Show begins next week in Detroit. It's interesting talking about Cadillac here, David, because some of the high-end luxury brands, Bentley, I think Mercedes and BMW and a number of others, are not expected to be in Detroit this year. Why is that?
Well, actually, just a quick point of clarification. Mercedes and BMW will be there. It's Bentley, Jaguar, Land Rover, Tesla. These brands are pulling out, and the reason is it seems like they're kind of done with the auto shows. It's not necessarily something against the Detroit Auto Show or anything like that. They kind of stopped doing all the auto shows in the U.S. They see it as, even though these luxury brands, I don't think they really see it as worth their time and money anymore to set up shop, to bring their wares down, and their customers aren't really there.
Does that benefit Cadillac? Does that, I mean, it seems like that would draw a little bit more attention, at least, to American brands, particularly the Cadillac.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. Cadillac, Lincoln, some of these American luxury brands really should hopefully get more attention with the absence of nameplates like Bentley. Even though Bentley's kind of its own kind
True.
Of school of cars there. But yeah, True. I think it would, you know, the less competition and the less other cars to look at, it should benefit Cadillac.
GM is making some new investments in technology as well. It just made a $500 million deal with Lyft, which is a ride-sharing startup that competes with Uber. Now, normally that might be seen as a threat to a car company because it appears to discourage car ownership, but this appears to be different. What's GM's motivation here?
Yeah, it's a really interesting development. Excuse me, it's been happening in the auto industry, and it's really this kind of this embracing of shared rides and shared ownership of cars and autonomous driving. It all kind of comes together. If you imagine an urban metropolis in the future where fewer people own cars, and instead they summon them with their smartphones or whatever, and they come and pick them up, and maybe they're driverless, and they take them around. And this is GM really embracing this future thing. They embrace it, and at the same time, giving Lyft a huge lift, for lack of a better term, with $500 million. It was part of a $1 billion funding, and GM gets a seat on their board going forward too. But it will be really interesting to see how this develops. They said they're going to develop a series of autonomous, a network of autonomous cars that will frankly be summoned on demand. But they didn't give a lot of details on that. There's some immediate partnerships, and it really is GM kind of betting on this future of more autonomous cars. Now, just a quick point on ownership. Some people, you know, our readers especially, rightfully so, are kind of leery of some of the stuff like, well, you know, I like driving and, you know, I don't want, you know, a computer to drive me around town. And that really, I think, is quite a ways down the road. There was even a study just really quick that in 2030, 15% of all cars might be autonomous. And I mean, it sounds like a lot, but 85% wouldn't be autonomous. So just a quick point there on that. Mm.
Next Monday, as we said, is the first day of the Detroit Auto Show, but it's also the day another chapter begins in GM's ignition switch scandal that cost a number of lives. It's been reported GM knew about the problem for several years before issuing a recall. Remind us, please, what's the heart of this case next week?
Yes, yeah, so this is some outstanding class action lawsuits. There's about a few hundred of them, and they weren't involved in this huge claims resolution facility that GM set up, and that was overseen by Ken Feinberg. He's a really well-known attorney. He handled the September 11th Victims Fund. He handled the BP oil spill and the Boston Marathon. And so GM paid out nearly $600 million in claims with that, but there's still some outstanding class action lawsuits being handled by a judge in Southern New York. And that trial, the judge ruled that this would go forward. It's going to be kind of like a bellwether to say, well, could GM, post-bankruptcy GM still be liable for some of this, for this ignition switch? And it really will be interesting to see what happens with this. Because if in the January 11 trial, GM is held liable, then there's further trials that would happen throughout 2016. So it's a really big deal for the company. And I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens on January 11.
I mean, the automakers already paid out quite a lot of money in fines and settlements, including a billion-dollar fine imposed by the federal government and about $600 million already to claimants. Do the insiders think that more payouts are more likely or less likely?
You know, it could go either way. There's no sentiment one way or the other, but you're absolutely right. GM has put out, they paid a $1 billion fine to the federal government, as you mentioned. The time will tell. Will they pay another $1 billion out? I would, my gut would tell me I doubt it, but so far they've been weathering this. It's been an absolute tragedy. It's been bad for the company, but they've been weathering it, and I would guess that they're going to continue, even if they are held accountable for some more of these liabilities. They've been making money hand over fist recently. They've been very profitable.
Well, that triggers my next question. Why hasn't the ignition scandal dampened sales? We just don't seem to have seen that.
Yeah, I know. It's an interesting point. We haven't seen that. Your guess is as good as mine on that. I don't know. I mean, new car sales are at record levels right now, not just GM, but all the automakers. Yesterday, actually, the records came down. It was a new record. All the automakers announced their full-year sales, and it was a record for new cars sold in the U.S. Last year. Beat the 2000 record, which was about 17 million and 340,000, whatever, and now we've sold 17.4 million. The economy is doing well. People are buying cars. Lending's loose. So it's kind of not just GM, but everybody's selling. There's tons of new cars.
David Muller's our guest here on Current State. David's an automotive reporter for MLive based in Detroit. The Consumer Electronics Show is taking place in Las Vegas. This show has a strong automotive dimension to us. Talk to us about the Chevy Bolt. What is the Bolt all about?
Yeah, this is a really interesting car. It's going to be unveiled today in Las Vegas, probably about 4 p.m. GM CEO and now chairwoman is scheduled to speak, and she's expected to, not even expected, they're telling us they're going to release this production version of the Bolt EV. It's an electronic car, a little four-door electronic car. It's supposed to get more than 200 miles of range on one charge and also be affordable. It's supposed to be priced below $30,000. After federal tax cuts. So it's become like an everyman's new electric car.
This week, the company elevated CEO Mary Barra to chairman, so now she holds both titles. What's the significance of that, David?
It's quite a historic moment. She was the first female CEO of the company, and now she's also the first chairman of the company, chairman of the board. GM is painting it as kind of an efficiency move. They're saying, look, we're going to be more efficient for her to be the chief executive as well as the chairman of the board. But really, it's also a testament of how she's performed since she became CEO in 2014. If you think about it, I mean, the whole ignition switch debacle, which we talked about, began right after she became CEO, and she's handled that arguably really well. The company's done really well since she's been at the helm. So it's really a testament to how well she's done at the helm of General Motors.
Talk to us a little bit about your job. What it's like. What is it like to be based in Detroit and to cover this legendary automaker? What do you need to know to do your job really well?
Well, that's an interesting question. I guess I don't know. You have to first really like cars and really like Detroit, in my opinion. I love both. I've always enjoyed cars. I've always loved the city of Detroit. So to cover a Detroit automaker is really it's a lot of fun, for lack of a better phrase. What would you have to know? I mean, it depends on whether you'd want to know the business side, the engineering side. I lean more toward the business side, so just kind of my experience.
Did you grow up in Southeast Michigan?
I actually grew up over in Grand Rapids. Until I was 18, and then I moved around quite a bit. I went to Paris and worked internationally for a little while, and then was in New Orleans. Actually, in there during the BP oil spill, I worked as a journalist, and I talked to Feinberg a few times, so some knowledge of how he handles those claims and that kind of thing. But then I moved back to Detroit about 3 years ago. Well, not back to Detroit, but I moved to Detroit 3 years. I grew up coming to the city, that kind of thing, you know, but I grew up on the west side of the state.
Well, if you grew up in the Grand Rapids area, you grew up pretty near some GM plants.
Absolutely.
Just one final word on your outlook for GM in 2016. By and large, going to be a pretty strong year for the automaker?
All signs point to it being a strong year for GM and for the U.S. auto industry in general. I think consumer confidence is up right now. The macroeconomic, despite what's been happening in the stock market at the beginning of the week, and despite some of these international things, I guess we'll see how the whole North Korea thing hits the market and that kind of thing. But the macroeconomics point to it being a strong year for GM and a strong year for all automakers in the U.S.
David Muller's an automotive reporter for MLive in Detroit. We've been talking about General Motors, how it did in 2015, and what's ahead for 2016. David, thank you for your time today.
Hey, thanks for having me.